Fists of Fail.
I didn't take any notes for this one, so this is going to be very...
Just off the cuff.
Okay, it's well, fun. That's how we're starting the review. I think this is going to be straight from the heart kind of review. Well, we're covering Kung Fu Panda 4 today, and I think we're going to talk about all of them, because I don't think we're ever going to talk about these movies again. Although although in the history of our show, we have talked about Kung Fu Panda a lot.
I'm sure we've referenced it every now and then. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty iconic children's animated film that also has martial arts, kind of rare.
Yeah. It's kind of been an important film of the late 2000s that has entered the cultural, I want to say zeitgeist. It just entered the cultural sphere. People talk about this movie. People actually look forward to the next Kung Fu Panda sequel. And then here we are, the longest hiatus in between one sequel to the next. And I did not expect there to be a Kung Fu Panda 4. I did not think there was going to be one. And here we are 8 years later.
I mean, considering how the third one ends, it felt very definitive in that this is us wrapping up the story. This is us wrapping up Po, the titular panda story. It felt like, yeah, there's no need to continue it, but here we are talking about 4 and then a little bit of 3, 2, and 1. Mm-hmm. 4 makes sense. It makes sense in the story because it's the hero's journey. It's him learning to accept this new role. It's him passing on his abilities to other individuals. And now in the fourth movie, he's taking the role that was entitled to him, the Dragon Warrior, and ultimately passing it on to a new individual to take up that mantle so he can ascend to an even higher level.
Yes, that is the story. So we don't have to do that this episode. You just explained the story. I mean, that's really it. There's a new character played by Awkwafina who is suspiciously introduced into the movie. And suspiciously, coincidentally, Poe needs to find a successor. I wonder who it's going to be.
Well, I mean, that's a given. You can't just introduce a character and they're like, I'm here for no reason. And then they just bounce.
It is so telegraphed. And the movie's not shying away from it at all. But at the same time, it doesn't nod to the audience enough. I kind of thought it would be a little bit smarter than that. Be like, come on, it's her. It's her. She's going to be the next Dragon Warrior. Or so we think. I thought it was going to go that route. It doesn't really. I mean, it just plays up to the fact that, okay, everything's going to nicely tie up together in a nice little bow by the end of the film. So
I mean, it does. It's point A to point B. It doesn't veer too far away from this straightforward path from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And I think it wraps up nicely in terms of what they're trying to set up. He needs a new successor. We meet Awkwafina. She's a gray fox to go against our black and white protagonist. I like what they did there. Yeah. And so it's their journey. It's funny because I really like the character of Po. When we first meet him in Kung Fu Panda, he is the over-enthusiastic, overpraising fanboy. That's exactly what it is. He loves martial arts. He loves the heroes of martial arts, and he is always praising those individuals. I think that's one of the stronger character traits he has, that despite what happens to him throughout the series, he is always in awe of people who are great at martial arts. And I kind of love that about him. Despite him having to battle these villains who want to hurt him, he's just like, oh my God, you're so good at martial arts. He's just so enthusiastic. It's kind of infectious, slightly annoying, but because it's a kid's movie, it's kind of fun at the same time.
Yeah, it's easy to make, it would have been easy to make Poe an annoying character throughout the whole series. Right, because he is that fanboy, he is that kung fu nerd, and he is almost your traditional comedy relief in these cartoons, these children's animated movies. But he's not. He always tries to do the right thing. He's a very admirable character. He has skill, but he's not he kind of showboats, but in a goofy, lovable way. It's Jack Black. It's just Jack Black on screen. It's what we're seeing here. It's essentially just another version of him on screen, just animated form. And, you know, Jack Black gives a lot of life to the character. So I think that's what really sells the character for me, is how infectious his performance is. And that's all. Yeah. It's been a constant. And so I didn't, in preparation for this episode, I didn't know we were going to possibly cover all the movies, but I did watch some of the Netflix show. Which one? Oof. Oh my God. There's so many. I watched, what was it? The Dragon Knight. And man, like the quality on that show is so much worse. Like, not even just because it's...
Well, it's TV show budget, right? They can't do the rendering.
Yeah.
Like a normal film can.
Yeah, the animation also has to be toned down a lot. It doesn't have that same stretch quality that you'd expect in a bigger budget
version. Is Jack Black still the voice?
So that's what I was alluding to. Jack Black is always Poe. Always. Oh, doesn't matter if it's the Kung Fu Panda holiday special that we covered on this show before.
Famously covered as a first attempt at video.
Yeah. And then here we are, trying to do it again. Mm-hmm. Full circle. But yeah, Jack Black, he's very committed to the role. I love that about him. He loves the character of Poe. Now he's executive producer on these productions now too, so... You know, he definitely has a lot of love for the series, the character, and it really shows. Even in the TV show, which is not good, it's really bad. at least the character is consistent, so I'll give it that. So, yeah. That being said, Poe is a very likable character, and I remember the first movie the most because it is definitively the best.
Yes, arguably the best one.
I wouldn't say arguably, it's definitely the best.
Sure.
The second and third one, so I didn't watch the second one more than once. I only watched it the one time. I just remember Gary Oldman. And that's it.
That's it. I mean, he doesn't really have a distinctive voice in that, because one of the weaker aspects about the Kung Fu Panda movies is, for me anyways, the villains, mm-hmm. because Poe is such a prominent, outspoken, and very, I don't know, engaging character. I always wanted a villain to kind of match that, or at least be able to combat his energy. And the villains are usually toned down. Mm-hmm. I like Ian McShane as Tai Lung in the first one. He has a great voice, but in terms of his motivation and everything, it's like, okay, yeah, he's just bad guy. He wants to destroy the Dragon Warrior in the Valley of Peace or whatever. Sure, that's serviceable for the plot. And then the second movie, Gary Oldman, his goal really is, I just want to take over China. But he wants to take over China with cannons and artillery. And that's just kind of interesting because it mirrors history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in terms of him as a character, I don't really feel he's doing anything too interesting, so that's just a shame.
Yeah.
And then we have the great
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. I was going to say J. Jonah Jameson.
You're not wrong.
I mean, I'm not wrong. Yeah, the great J.K. Simmons as Master Kai, or General Kai, I believe.
Yeah, and his motivation is to go get pictures of Spider-Man.
He just wants to steal everyone's chi. Because he's mad at Oogway for not teaching him how to steal people's chi.
Yeah, I did recently watch the third one because it's available on Netflix. The other two are not, so I had to run around. If I were to watch them again, I had to run around and find them. But I did rewatch the third one recently, and I thought it kind of suddenly jumped to almost like a Super Saiyan level of mysticism. Not to say the other two didn't, but I don't remember. Like, I thought they're... I mean, none of the martial arts in these movies are grounded, right? Because it's animated and also it's with animals and they're doing fantastical things. But now, at the end of the movie, from the third film, I remember it just became a chi energy battle. And people are flying around. Made me think of Matrix Revolutions. Holy shit. in a way, right? When it's barely it's barely a hand-to-hand fight anymore. It's just a lot of magical effects and people fighting from a distance.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by that because one of the overall themes of the movie, maybe not themes, but the ideas of the third one is chi. It's harnessing chi using the powers behind your internal energy. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, it's going to be blast. It's going to be big spiritual blast. And the third movie does have a little bit of martial arts in it. I like that General Kai, he has the Kratos blades. He's swinging them around. There's a few cool sequences with it, but because it's a children's movie, they can't do too much with the fighting because he has bladed weapons. He can never really cut anybody with it. It's always he's swinging it around and he misses, or
of course,
I don't know, nearly misses something.
Yeah, he'll grab something and use it as a projectile weapon. I noticed that was a recurring theme there. That's fine. I love J.K. Simmons for sure, but I think he was probably, well, actually, I don't know if it's true, because I was going to say he was the weakest villain, story-wise, character-wise, but then I haven't watched the second one more than the one time, so I don't even know if that's true.
Well, I was mentioning earlier, Gary Oldman in the second movie, I don't really feel I remembered his character minus his motivation. I think his motivation is big, but his character felt just, I don't know, underwritten. I think what's interesting about the second movie is that Poe is dealing with the loss of his mother. He has these flashbacks and he gets PTSD from it because Gary Oldman's peacock villain is responsible for his mother's death, and it's about him dealing with this trauma that he had as a kid and not letting it define him as an adult, which I think is really heavy stuff for a children's movie, and I think they handle it really well. Like, the ending of the movie is very strong, but everything before that is a little forgettable. It feels like we're just playing around, we're going through the motions, and then finally when it gets to that ending, you're just like, oh wow, those are actually some really good heavy things to deal with.
Yeah, and I know that movie sequel baits that third one with Bryan Cranston. Yes. I don't even know if it's Bryan Cranston who's at the end of the second one, but
I don't think
it's Bryan Cranston when it's the third one, when he plays his father, and I thought that was going to be a more pivotal element of the movie where it'd be a bigger struggle between the battle of the dads, right? That's mm-hmm. Bryan Cranston shows up, his biological father versus James Hong, who is his goose father. And I thought it was going to be more of that. It kind of resolves itself in a nice way, obviously, but it doesn't have the same emotional heartstring moments, pulling at the heartstrings moments as the second one. I remember the second one having tugs at your heartstrings a little bit more.
Yes.
And the first, so, but at the same time, none of that matters because the first one's still the superior film, because it's, I think when you and I were coming out of Kung Fu Panda 4 and we were watching it in the theaters, I came out of there thinking, remember the first movie? Like, that felt very quaint in comparison to all these sequels. It just feels so much simpler. And that's all you really needed. I actually think as the sequels went on, the setup to getting to the villain was too much. It was not complicated. It was just too much to get there. The first movie is Tai Long, Ian McShane, broke out of prison. He wants to get revenge, and you need to stop him. That's it. That's essentially the plot, and it's actually nice and simple in that regard. And also, Poe needs to discover that he's worthy of being the Dragon Warrior. And you know what? I think one thing that's missing in all the sequels, including this fourth one, is that relationship that we had with Dustin Hoffman's character, with Master Shifu. I really thought he was such a their relationship was so strong in the first one, and how they were developing it. And then as the series went on, he became a backdrop character.
Yeah, I kind of understand that, though, because he's so pivotal in the first movie. I think they don't really need him to be that guiding voice anymore. He can kind of riff off the other characters. So in the second movie, James Hong, his role gets bumped up a lot more. Even Angelina Jolie as Tigress gets a little more voice presence to support. And then even, oh God, I forgot, Michelle Yeoh is even in the second movie. And she's the soothsayer Ram, I think.
Okay.
She predicted that a warrior of black and white is going to take down the peacock guy, Gary Oldman. And even she gets, some support in there as well. So it's like, Dustin Hoffman, he's still the original Shifu, but I can understand them pushing him back a little bit to give other characters more support. And I do like that James Hong's role got bumped up a lot more, because I think it's fun that in the third movie, he's personally distraught because he feels like he's losing his son to the biological father. So it's like a fun little thing to see him be in despair and feel sad about it. But ultimately it's like, hey, I have two dads now.
Yeah. Oh man, I can already see all these conservatives just watching a movie, be like, no, I don't like the message of this movie. No, no, you can't have more than two dads. Absolutely not. Like, boycott Kung Fu Panda 3. I like that about the first movie still, because, the whole, I mean, yeah, of course there's all that going on, but in terms of character relations, I thought it was like so strong because of what you had with Shifu and Poe. It was actually kind of also woven into the main plot in a way. So with the third movie, I don't remember that being as, it wasn't so pivotal. It was just kind of like some extra side story that's happening at simultaneously. But I don't think that necessarily makes it worse. I kind of miss like the dynamics that our main character had with these other established characters in the series already, like with Shifu. Right. And then now that we're in the fourth movie, now we're actually missing characters. We're just trying to get rid of characters.
Missing the Furious Five. Yeah, they appear in visuals in the beginning and in the end, and I think only Seth Rogen technically returns to scream like during the credits. Yeah.
He didn't even come back. I think I would bet the money that they just took.
They took like an old voice clip. Yeah, probably. Exactly. Probably. It's a shame because, well, I mean, it makes sense because, yes, famously in the first movie, you have these heroes that Poe looks up to, the Furious Five. And they're played by Jackie Chan, Lucy Liu, Angelina Jolie, David Cross, and then Seth Rogen. And then they do weave them into the story in the sequels, but you can tell they're just kind of there to do little things, say a few lines, and then be gone.
Yeah.
And in the fourth movie, they're like, yeah, we're not paying those actors to say just like a few sentences anymore. Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to write them out. Like they're not really essential to the story anymore. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not to say that they were real characters in the previous movies either. They're literally stand-ins for animal styles of Kung Fu, and that they're not characters. They're just there to represent them. And they don't have anything interesting going on about them. However, mixing them, I guess, is fine. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but it kind of shows in a way that this sequel actually doesn't have the same budget as the other ones.
It's the lowest budget of all four movies.
Yeah, yeah. It shows in a way. I felt like it felt emptier, and I don't know how to qualify that more than just the how I felt as I was watching the movie. I can't really tangibly explain it, but it felt like at times there's a lot of emptiness going on, versus the other films. It always felt like things were always filling the screen. It was very busy, but in a visually pleasing way. This one felt a little bit more plain backdrops, empty open fields, and that's just like the visual aspect, the environments. But also we're missing characters in a huge way, actually. Now I'm thinking back to the other sequels and the original movie, there's so many characters, even if they weren't important characters, but there were a lot of characters. This one, it kind of just hones in on a small handful. Maybe like four, really, I mean, if you think about it.
I kind of like that. I like that, you know, you don't have to keep on bringing everybody along for a ride, so it makes sense they're going to remove some characters. But the problem is none of the new characters are really that memorable. Yeah. I mean, Awkwafina is essentially herself. She's fine. If you like Awkwafina, you'll like this new character. If you don't like her, then you'll hate this new character. But you have... Who else is there? Oh, you Brian. Have Brian Cranston returns, so he's a returning character. James you Holland. Have a guy who's a fish who's living inside a pelican's mouth.
Ronnie Chang,
not really adding much. Well, then you have Ki-Hu Kwan, who is I think an armadillo who is just, you know, kind of moving the story along, and then you have killer bunny children, which are kind of funny. But then after that, there's these new characters who could potentially be moving the series forward aren't memorable. So it's just kind of a shame that that's just what it is.
Right. Well, here's the thing about the previous iterations, previous stories. It felt like it was Poe and a bunch of allies who would be going along with him on his adventure. And I get it. I think they did an admirable job because they're trying to change up the formula a little bit. He's not really the hero of the story. It's like he is passing on the mantle onto someone else so that they could become the hero. And that's the point of the story. But then he doesn't have as many allies with him along the way. He really just has his two dads and this gray fox that he just met.
Well, he doesn't need allies anymore either because he's essentially ascended to a level higher above everybody. So, I mean, in the third movie, it's about him becoming the teacher now, and there's awkwardness because he's in charge of teaching the Furious Five, the people who were originally part of the set that were teaching him. So they flipped the script, and of course, in the beginning, he's a terrible teacher, but then at the end, he teaches the villagers to fight back, Ip Man style. So in this movie, the fourth movie, he doesn't need any help anymore. He's got magical powers. He can kind of do everything on his own at this point.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. But in terms of scale, it doesn't feel like it went up. It actually felt like it went down as a result of that. Because like now, you know, in quantity, in terms of people who he needs to lean his shoulders on, or he needs shoulders to lean on, rather, he doesn't need as much. So it's just really him and a handful of people, small handful of people, to take on the big baddie. And weirdly enough, I don't love the villain here, but I did think it was kind of menacing that, you know, our Viola Davis, who is our villain here in this fourth iteration, she has ability to steal powers. And I thought that was very interesting. And I thought with the way that the third movie ended and how what we've established Poe can do, like, how do you up the stakes? How do you make Poe fight someone who can even stand a chance against him? Oh, by doing this. Literally by doing this. By having someone who's just can combine everyone's powers together.
See, but, I wasn't too crazy about the new villain because it feels like a similar retread of what the third movie's villain did, General Kai.
That's true. That's also true.
He was stealing the other master's chi, and then he was turning them into zombie jade monsters and then sending them back at Poe. So instead of stealing their powers and then he takes those powers and fights with it, he just makes them fight back. So it was just a little too similar for my taste. I wish they did something else. But, I mean, Viola Davis is great as a voice actress, so she did perfectly fine. And then the character is somewhat menacing. But I wish they did something different with it because it felt a little too similar.
Well, this movie definitely sequel baits, for sure. And not in a negative way. And I'm not going to say that with a negative connotation. It's leading up to future installments with the way that it ends, because, you know, I mean, he is looking for a successor, so he needs to start on that path, right? And I think DreamWorks is just road mapping the series of movies, the sequels for all their big IPs right now. Like Shrek 7 in 2057. But yeah, with that being said, you do have to up the stakes every single time. So you're like, because now the dragon Poe has, you know, gotten to a point where he's laughably unstoppable. So you need someone who's also laughably unstoppable to make a good movie, right? Yeah, but anyways, that's like the retrospective of the series, but we do want to talk about the action, right?
Yes.
Because 25 minutes in, we should definitely talk about the action. The Kung Fu Panda series has been pretty consistent about its action style. It's very fast. So fast, in fact, that it's obviously very intentional. It's going to be so fast that you can't register the violence.
That's the idea. Yeah, this is a children's movie. You can't really show violence with intent to kill or harm in a certain way for children, because just, you know, you'll get that PG-13 rating. You'll get that PG rating. So what do they do in order for you to not really catch it? Well, show it fast. And then even what they do in TV, what they'll do is they'll show like a white frame sometimes to imply impact, or even a black frame, red or whatever. And I remember they do it like a few times in the first movie. I can't recall anywhere else in the second and third films. But it's kind of interesting because, you know, violence, right? The second movie is about taking up arms to take over China. And so what do? They have cannons. How do you kidify cannons? When they shoot the cannonball, it's like fireworks. It sparkles coming out everywhere. It's so pretty and beautiful. I'm like, that's a really deadly weapon, and they're really making it visually enticing.
Do the explosions turn into like a field of flowers? Yeah. Wow. Okay. I don't remember that much from. Wow. I don't remember the second movie at all. So, but in terms of the fisticuffs, the fact that everyone is an animal definitely lends itself to some fantastical stuff that's going on, right? So you see Mantis running around. I mean, you don't see it in this movie because Mantis is barely in the movie whatsoever. But and I'm talking about the previous iterations. Like, if, as an example, Mantis will just be freaking darting all around, and you just see people or the enemies just they're recoiling from damage. But you don't even see Mantis. You just see a little blur on screen, and that's a perfect example. But I think that applies to every player in every fight in these fight scenes and throughout the whole series. Like, people are moving so fast that you really, and it's not a complaint, but it is hard to point out what's going on in fights sometimes because it is moving so quickly. You can probably appreciate a lot more if you're watching it like a portion of the speed. But obviously you're not going to do that. It's snappy for a reason. It's in that it's meant to keep your attention if you're a child, right? I feel like if it was any slower, a kid would be like, this is boring.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was slower, it'd be boring. I think if the fights were slower, it would probably feel a little more realistic. And then you have the ratings board, like, I don't know, this is too violent. You can't go that route. Yeah. But, I mean, that first movie still has probably one of my favorite animated fight scenes of all time in there, when the Furious Five fight Tai Long on the bridge. The animated direction on that fight is so well done. Yep. It's so crystal clear. You understand the stakes, and people might not realize this, but those five masters are literally on a suicide mission because they know they can't really defeat this guy, but they're going to try anyway. And so they've just signed their, you know, their death warrant essentially, and they're trying to fight this guy on a bridge. And it's amazing how it's just a constant back and forth, and all five fighters get a chance to literally do something unique to them to try and take this guy down.
No, you're absolutely right. And now that I'm thinking back on it, doesn't the second movie try to do that too? Like, at the end, I remember everyone gathers together and they try to take down the big baddie, and I don't remember being as successful. It doesn't have that same. I remember the Furious Five and Poe and everyone get together at the very end of the second movie for this major showdown with the Peacock and his guardsmen, and I don't remember being as well done.
It's kind of messy. They're all on these boats that are trying to go out to sea so they can take over China. And then it's just every character fighting all these wolves on the boats. It's really dark. It's kind of a mess in terms of martial arts choreography. It's like, yeah, you can see it because it's an animated film. They have to make direction clear, but it's not like you remember any of it. The only thing I remember is Jean-Claude Van Damme voices a crocodile, and he jumps out of the water, does a split kick, and then also lands into splits. And I was like, okay, that's the only thing I'm going to know from this movie.
Okay. Yeah, and then there's the third one. And I just recently watched it. And I don't remember any fights in that being very memorable. Right? Is anything stick out for you?
Well, when Jigoro Kai does get the small moment to, you know, swing his blades around, that's kind of cool, but it's over in a flash because I think that's just too violent.
It's just flashy, but I wouldn't say that there were memorable fights in that movie. You might be right. I think the first movie has a very memorable fight scene, and I do agree. I like that bridge fight a lot. But then after that, every fight is serviceable, but I don't think any of them are memorable, especially now that we're on the fourth movie. I think the tavern fight is probably the best because it's the longest. It's probably the most clear. And after that, nothing really hit those highs. And even that final fight, I thought it was going to be more, I don't know. I thought it was going to be better in some ways, but it became a little bit too overwhelming. It became too overstimulating. And at least that maybe for me, because, you know, I have old man eyes now. I can only take in so many things that are happening on screen. But it was a little bit too much. I couldn't.
Really difficult then, because it's literally a chameleon character transforming into so many other characters. Your old man eyeballs must have been like melting out of the sockets.
Thank God. I just couldn't process some things that were happening. I was like, I just know that Poe's losing, and that's all I know.
Right. Yeah, it's a shame. The fourth movie, like, I don't even really remember that tavern fight at all. I think for me, the most memorable fight was probably the end when the chameleon character starts transforming into the other masters, because you get to see the different animal styles as Poe tries to fight her.
Yeah.
But because the series has this style where the hand-to-hand choreography is very, very fast, it's over in a flash. They fight, you know, and then you're just like, oh, well that's it. You know, as martial arts fans, like, sure, like, we can complain, but at the same time, it's a kids movie.
We haven't spoiled anything, and we won't for this, but I will say, I'd say that ends rather anticlimactically. It makes sense how Poe wins. I kind of wish it went longer. And to your point, it does feel like it's over in a flash. And I kind of wish that final fight just was a little bit longer. Maybe if it had a little bit more of a budget. Storyboarded, and maybe they storyboarded out a longer fight scene. Oh, it would have been great if... Well, it would have been great if the Furious Five showed up. And like, oh, you know, like, now's the perfect time. We can afford Lucy Liu and Jackie Chan and David Cross again.
See, it's funny you say that, because I can almost imagine you or even I say something like, they just came out of left field, Deus Ex Machina. They got saved by, you know, some random thing because it needed to happen, right?
Yeah, but, well, sure. Now, you're right. You are right about that. But what we actually got was the other extreme, where it just felt too short. I didn't think that final fight... it doesn't kind of go through these ups and downs. It's just kind of like, it starts and it's pretty much over by the time it's getting good.
Yeah, I mean, without really spoiling anything, I also felt it was pretty anticlimactic in how the villain is defeated, but of course the villain's gonna get defeated. I mean, in the first movie, if you haven't seen it yet, I'm gonna have to spoil it a little bit. Poe defeats the villain by using
Like dojo moves. Dojo move.
Yeah.
I mean, Come on, it is.
It's so weird, but it's funny because it works in that movie. And speaking a little bit about violence again, it's the Kung Fu Panda character is kind of funny because he's a big fat panda, and in order to subvert violence in the first movie anyway, the Tai Long character is hitting Po, and he's getting tickled by it. You know, if you think about it, like this grown man like pummeling like essentially a man child, you think, oh god, that's horrible, but because he's just so fat and big, it doesn't really affect him. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting way to get around the fact that this guy really wants to kill you.
Yeah. And again, that's the lovable thing about Po. It's like, even at this point, and as much as he's evolved in the series, he is still that, he's still kind of a klutz, and he wins by being a klutz. And that's why it's funny. I mean, I'm a grown-ass man, and I still kind of find that charming in a way, even though that's, like, kiddie humor. But that's the lovable thing about that character. I think that's, it's easy, in a way, it's easy to write for this kind of character. Because, you know, like, as long as you stay true to those edicts about who this character is, like, the fact that he's a klutz, he's a huge fanboy, he's a nerd, he wins by doing ridiculous things, he gets hurt a lot, you know, borrowing from like the, you know, like almost like a Jackie Chan textbook, you know, book, you know, like he's not invincible, like he's really good, but he's not invincible, he gets hurt along the way, all these things make for a very consistent character. And that's what I kind of like about the Kung Fu Panda series. But I'd say this one's definitely the weakest, this fourth movie.
Oh, it is, in my opinion. It's strangely the weakest. How would you rank them? I think I know.
Well, I don't know where two would fit, but four is definitely the lowest. One is the first. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might say one, literally chronological. It actually just gets worse over time. One, two, three,
interesting.
Four.
Okay.
I remember at least the second movie had that emotional moment. From my memory, but I haven't watched it in a long time. But the third movie was okay. But if I had to think about it, I probably compare the two and think two might have been better. I don't know. So is it flip flop for you?
Yeah, mine is 1, 3, 2, 4. After rewatching 2 and 3 back to back, even though 2 has the more emotional impact, 3 overall was just a better movie for me, and 4. Is the bottom. It's not like it's a bad movie.
It's not.
I feel that I probably would have been fine with this if we didn't watch it in theaters. Like, okay. If we watched it at home, I would be like, oh, yeah, it's not bad.
Paying like $25 for those premium seats just so we could watch that. I agree. I didn't need that theater experience, which is kind of hard for me to say. I wish I brought like kids with me so that I can watch them be overjoyed, because I just came out of that going, that's all right.
I thought you were gonna say I wish you brought alcohol with you.
Oh,
we did have drinks because they had it served in the theater.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what, people, you know, Kung Fu Panda has been gone for a while, and this was the number one movie this weekend, and it made more money than 2 and 3. It almost matched the first movie in terms of box office gross. So
nostalgia, people, is that's what that
it
is.
It could be nostalgia. It could be that maybe we're just being too hard and this is actually a good movie and we just don't realize it.
Yeah, or maybe people just don't want to watch Dune Part 2.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Maybe not. But, do you think you'll stick around for the... What would it be? Kung Fu Fox?
Kung Fox? Kung Fox. I don't know. I don't... I mean, Awkwafina's character is bleh to me. Mm-hmm. She's just the stand-in for I was bad once, now I must be good. I like Poe's character. I liked how he started. I said all those things already. I don't just repeat myself. I like that. If they do a spinoff, like, no, there's no longer any Poe, and it just became Awkwafina show, I would not watch that. I would be so disinterested. unless she's a radically different character, because that there's nothing. I didn't find her lovable. I found her just kind of a weakly written character that just needs to be there because she needs to learn a lesson at the end of the day.
I mean, yeah, that's essentially it. Maybe it'll be Poe trying to teach Awkwafina's character, Zhen, to be this rabid, overenthusiastic fangirl who just loves kung fu and nerds out on all these things. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
God, I would not want that. I definitely don't want to watch that then.
Okay, we can just leave it there. Yeah,
I thought you were gonna say Poe's gonna turn Awkwafina into a rapping fox. I was like, no, I definitely don't want to see that.
I mean, if anyone's gonna turn into a rapping fox, it's her, Awkwafina.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I think we don't want to go that route though, because maybe she might start rapping about her badge.
No.